as I start a new game. Am I continuing Pikmin? No. Should I continue Pikmin? Most likely. I feel like I would like to finish a video game someday. But today we are doing something else. In fact, I did a little bit of a test. I think we could bring this music up to 30%. I did a quick test recording before I started this. Oh, it's so beautiful. This is good stuff. This is Pillars of Eternity. The title screen says Pillars of Eternity, The White March, because The White March is the DLC, presumably that has to do with some sort of marching across the snow scenario, because the character here on the cover is indeed marching through the snow. Also, there's a little cat behind him. I have played this game before. And I think it's pretty fun. Let's see. The game settings goes from story time to easy to normal to hard to Path of the Damned. Separately from that track of like 1 through 5 is Expert Mode. Expert Mode disables a number of helper features in the game. Players who want to rely on their own faculties and intuition while playing the game should play Expert Mode. This option is selected when you start a new game. It cannot be enabled in-game, and if disabled, cannot be re-enabled in that game. We don't need to give ourselves a hard time. We're here for a story to be told, a game to be played. In the Trial of Iron Mode, only one save file is kept for the entire playthrough. If the player is killed, the file is deleted, and you must start again. This option can't be changed in-game. So you could do Path of the Damned with Expert Trial of Iron if you really want to go as hardcore as you possibly can. But, so, let's see. Easy difficulty requires minimal micromanagement and easily forgives mistakes in combat. So I played before on normal. This is a Baldur's Gate-like game. Real time with pause, yada yada yada. It's got some very interesting notions, which we'll get to in a little bit, that I think make this... I think I like this game more than I like... I think I like this game more than I like Baldur's Gate 2. I think I like Baldur's Gate 1, and then Pillars of Eternity, and then Baldur's Gate 2. Because I feel like Baldur's Gate 2 just doesn't really hit that sweet spot, you know? There's too many freaking wizards throwing chaos spells. Storytime mode is for players. I played on easy most recently. I played on normal the very first time, and then when I had to redo Act 1 because I lost my first save file, I did easy mode. So I've been playing on easy most recently, and that actually was, it was easy, I know. But like in a few spots, like you could still get knocked over if you weren't careful. If everyone just like walked into a fireball trap, so to speak, then you could still get some people knocked out. Let's see, this says story time is for players who are more interested in exploration and story development than the challenge of combat. While story time is active, the enemy composition of battles is the same as normal difficulty, but the game mechanics are biased in the player's favor. Additionally, the party can carry an unlimited number of camping supplies. Heck, we'll do story time, because this is a story time for you, the listener. So I'm going to hit accept to a story time game. We see some sort of pillar of crystal. I looked on the feed and I couldn't find that I had released any Pillars of Eternity episodes before, but I feel like I've described that pillar of crystal before, so I don't know. We have a loading screen. This is installed to an SSD, so hopefully these loads should be pretty fast. This feels like normal loading time. This feels like normal hard drive.
Five wagons grope blindly for the path on a starless night, their master glancing ever upward to the skies for assurance that he is on the right course. A dim lantern, his only protection against the encroaching darkness. But the skies bring no comfort, shining no light, betraying no hint of what they know. The caravan carries travelers bound for the frontier hamlet of Gilded Vale, you among them, where a local lord has offered land and wealth to settlers from abroad looking for a fresh start. You have taken suddenly ill, sweating and shivering, and one of the other travelers signals for the caravan master to stop on your behalf. He pulls up just in time to avoid plowing into the trunk of a fallen tree that bars the way ahead. You will go no further tonight.
Okay. So, what do I like about this? Because I've been playing Baldur's Gate 3 recently, I've been trying to scale back the amount of Baldur's Gate 3 that I play, but I don't want to completely give up on the game, because a lot of people like that, and a lot of people say that stuff gets good in the later, like the story parts get really good, and so part of me does want to go through Baldur's Gate 3 and eventually see a significant portion of the story stuff. But what I'm going to say that they did right here, compared to like what I want as a player, is we have, you know, a painting of these wagons that were being described, and then there's like a border around the painting so that the border's probably like at higher resolutions, then the painting doesn't have to get stretched out too much or whatever. Or maybe it's just for like the border is a moss cover or like greeny goldy kind of maybe copper spray painted. And then, you know how copper turns green? Like, there are bits that are copper-colored, but most of it's, pinotate or whatever? Poutine. Yes, poutine. I'm sure poutine is definitely exactly what I meant. Hi, Brett and Ryan. So there's all this brickwork. And this lovely wooden frame. This is all so nice. And then we get a narrator that reads us some paragraphs about what is happening. This is perfect, and I love it. This is one of those things that, like, if they'd had more money and could, like, do a scene of the wagons driving through the passage at night, and we see some sort of like a 3D character model like looks up into the stars or whatever, I don't think that would be as good as a well-written piece of text read ominously by a skilled narrator, because that's what Dungeons and Dragons is about. Dungeons and Dragons is about someone communicating to you primarily through language rather than pictures, and I feel that is an essential element of a Dungeons and Dragons-like experience, such as is being delivered with Pillars of Eternity. And so, if you're playing a game that is supposed to be a Dungeons and Dragons-like experience, or other role-playing game that is in the tabletop tradition, emphasis on language is paramount. You need to vibrantly describe the world. Don't show me the world. Please don't actually show me the world. I want to hear a skilled writer tell me about the world and paint that picture through my ears into my inner eye. You know? That's what I want. That's what I love here. And I don't want to stop for everything that's great about this game all the time, but I'm happy to be playing a video game that is enjoyable. Here we have a character creation. We have sex, race, class, attributes, culture, appearance, and voice are the things across the top. We cannot take these out of order. So male or female, let's do a lady. Why not? Always enjoy. Okay, so the races. Human, commonly called folk, are the most common race of the Deerwood, the Aether Empire, Old Vailia? V-A-I-L-I-A. Old Vailia, and the Valaean Republics. Though not as large as the towering Almoa? I guess I've never had to say that out loud before. Though not as large as the towering Almoa, humans are known for their strength and willpower. Next, we have Amawa. The mighty Amawa are the largest of the Kith races and are commonly found in or near oceans. Though not truly aquatic, they have an affinity for water, and many of their civilizations, such as Rautai, are based on naval dominance. They are known for their unparalleled strength. Dwarf. By virtue of land covered and number of colonies settled, dwarves are the most well-traveled races in the world. They're commonly found in the Deerwood, the Valaean Republics, and almost any colonized land. Dwarves are known for their great strength and tenacity. Elves, the dominant race in Irglanfath. Irglanfath, we can hover a mouse over it and get an entire... There's like an entire additional paragraph of information about Irglanfath, and I'm not going to read that. And the white that wends, and are extremely common in the Deerwood and Aedir. Elves are known for their speed and intelligence, as well as commonly isolationist nature. Orlans are the smallest of the Kith races, though many cultures don't consider them to be civilized at all. Also notable for their large ears, two-toned skin, and hirsute bodies, Orlans are commonly found in Irglanfath, the Ixia Middle Plains, and parts of the Deerwood. They are known for their mental intensity and sharp senses. So the Orlans, dwarfs are a short race, Orlans are short and dwarf sized, but instead of being, you know, dwarf looks kind of like a standard dwarf. Orlan has kind of the werewolf version of a dwarf, or maybe like the 90s cat girl version of a dwarf. I want to separate like the pre-2000, the girl from Escaflowne, like lots of like dark skin because of fur, like big furry ears, like this is no like, what should that, like the 20% furry, this is like full on girl, and but still a human nose, still a human nose. But like cat eyes and cat ears and big fur coming off, like Maine Coon, like big ears. And then last we have godlike. The godlikes are children of the Kith, which, and then parentheses, quote unquote, civilized races, who have been blessed with the physical aspects associated with the gods, though some do not consider it a blessing. These aspects may take many forms and often come with mystical powers. Aberrant head shapes are typical, and godlike are unable to wear protective headgear, as it is near impossible to find anything that fits. Because of their unusual nature and their inability to reproduce, godlike are often viewed with fear and wonder. All right, so, oh, I didn't describe... So, you know, humans look like humans. Omawa look like they're bigger. They're... imagine instead of being like a 6 foot... a man that would be 6 foot as human would be like... Omawa would be like the 7 foot. You know, like they're big. Like Space Marine big. Bulky footballer. Dwarf... let's see. So in this version, elves are shorter than humans. Sometimes elves are taller than humans, sometimes elves are shorter than humans, and this type of elf is a shorter than human elf. And then godlike are human proportions, but they have like alternate color skin and like horns. Like our default godlike here has like plant skin and like down from her eyes there's like golden yellow petals freckling on her cheeks, and her eyes are yellow orbs like lilies. It's really quite cool. So we're gonna say next. So we have to, okay, so in addition to race, we also get a sub-race. So like humans have meadow, ocean, and savanna. Omawa have coastal and island. Dwarf, mountain, and boreal. Elf have wood and pale. Orlans, hearth and wild. And godlike have death, fire, moon, and nature. Death's Usher. I don't remember all of this, so it's not like I can speed through this too much. But I do remember that godlike are pretty cool. They're certainly more fantastical than just playing a human or whatever. And there was that thing about how they can't wear helmets, but that never was a problem. There was never a helmet that was so good that I was like, you know, I'm sad that I'm playing a godlike character because I can't wear this helmet, you know? Let's see. So Fire Godlike have Battle Forged. When reduced below 50% endurance, Fire Godlike glow like metal in a forge, gaining damage reduction and doing a small amount of fire damage to any creature who hits them in melee. Moon Godlike, every encounter when reduced below 75, 50, and 25% endurance, Moon Godlike generate waves of healing moonlight that restore endurance to them and their allies. So I think we're going to play as like a fighter, and one of the fighter's signature abilities in this game is that they actually have an automatic regeneration, so their endurance stays pretty high on average. And if it gets low, then it will like fill back up. So Death Godlike, when Death Godlike attack an enemy that's 25% endurance, their damage is increased. That would be good for us. Fire Godlike, this Battleforged ability, it wouldn't work as well for us, because like we'd get into the fire zone and then we'd push ourselves up out of it. Nature Godlike grants a bonus to might, constitution, and dexterity when endurance is below 50%. Also not as helpful necessarily, because again we're going to push ourselves out of it. But Silver Tide, every encounter when reduced below 75%, 50%, and 25% endurance, Moon Godlike generate waves of healing and moonlight that restore endurance to them and their allies. So that's, you could, it can trigger up to 3 times. And like if you go down to 75 and then go back up to 100 and then go down to 50, then like it's like if you go below 50 over and over, like the you've used the 50% trigger once per fight. But I like that this is automatic. And you know, if you don't use healing because you weren't hurt that much, then it doesn't, like, you haven't really like lost anything or whatever, like, because you weren't even hurt at all, so you didn't really need it, so it's fine. We're gonna go with Moon Godlike. Our body type. Oh, we can pick. I guess Godlike can pick the body type that you want it to apply the Godlike look to. We're gonna go with Aumaua. Aumaua. A-U-M-A-U-A. Aumaua. Aumaua. We're gonna go with an Aumaua body, and so imagine like the biggest like pro wrestler lady. We are like a bulky, powerful lady. Like Karlak is looking not so big compared to us. I want to play a fighter. We have Disciplined Barrage or Knockdown. Two per encounter. We can Disciplined Barrage. We get plus 20 accuracy for 15 seconds. Knockdown. Shoves an enemy, makes them prone, causing additional damage. I mean, I think we can eventually get both of these. I'll just get Disciplined Barrage. You know, it's always neat to. Okay. Here's an interesting element. So this is a D&D type game, you know? We have 6 stats. What are the 6 stats? Might, Constitution, Dexterity, Perception, Intellect, and Resolve. So noticeably, none of those are Charisma. This is good game design. Also, we have what the stats do is different. Might represents the character's physical and spiritual strength, brute force, as well as their ability to channel powerful magic. During interactions, it can be useful for intimidating displays and acts of brute force. In combat, it contributes to both damage and healing, as well as the fortitude defense. So I have might 10 by default. It adds a percentage modifier to damage and healing, as well as my fortitude defense, which is kind of like a fort save if you've played 3rd edition D&D. It's like versus like poisons and petrification and stuff like that. But noticeably, so that's a modifier to damage and healing. That's all sources of damage. If you want to do a lot of damage, you want to have a high might. Even if you're a wizard or a barbarian or whatever, you want to have a high might. If you want to be a like a cleric or whatever, you want to have a high might. Might is helpful to almost every character. And, you know, conversely, I could reduce my might below 10, but then I would have a damage penalty. Next, we have Constitution. It's a combination of the character's overall health and stamina. Although it is not used much in interactions, it is sometimes checked to withstand pain or endure a physically taxing ordeal. In combat, it affects maximum health and endurance and contributes to the Fortitude defense. Highly recommended for fighter. Yes, so your endurance is your endurance is the short-term survivability. If your endurance goes to zero, your character is knocked out. Health is your long-term damage that you regain through like an overnight rest. As your endurance takes damage, your health can also take damage, and then your endurance can go back up to full, but your health won't go to full. And then if your health actually goes to zero, that's when the character would take like either is maimed if in easier difficulties or dies on higher difficulties. So dexterity affects action speed and reflex. Perception affects interrupt. So like when you hit someone, whether or not it's going to interrupt their action is affected by your perception, as well as your own accuracy and reflex. Intellect expands areas of effect and durations. So even like a barbarian character or whatever, who has like a barbarian shout, say, you want some intellect because it makes the shout area bigger and it makes this shout like rallying, like the morale boost from doing your barbarian shout or whatever will last longer. Also, it affects the will defense, and then resolve affects concentration, which is the opposite of interrupting. Like when someone hits you, it's like their interrupt rating versus your concentration rating to see if you get interrupted from your action. Also, it adds to deflection, which is instead of armor class, it's deflection for most normal attacks, and then reflex for things that armored. This is vaguely 4th edition-ish. 3rd edition, 4th edition-ish, somewhere in there. So there's deflection, reflex, will, and fortitude are your four defenses. What do I want? Is it... Okay, so... 1, 1, 1, 1. Is it just... 8, 7. I think it's just 1 for 1. Let's just go 14. 14 Constitution. Let's see, 16 Constitution, 16 Resolve, 14 Might. We have 1 point left. Action Speed and Reflex. We could add to Dexterity, Perception, Intellect. Perception? I guess? Let's... Oh, this is an area. Stats for fighter. Pillars of Eternity stats for fighter. Fighter stats help. Project Eternity. No, these are people like talking about it. I want someone to just tell me 6 numbers. One person is suggesting that they want their dex to go to 4 and their resolve to go to 20. This person says might 19, con 5. Dexterity 10, Perception 8, Int 18. Intellect affects us. Oh! So, like, our recovery aura and discipline barrage and stuff is affected by the duration benefits. Did they want... High might, they want low con? You don't need that at large endurance pool because you auto heal whenever pitiful amounts of damage is actually. Highly recommended for fighter, according to the game. In all stats. In all caps. We'll put it at 15. Resolve, highly recommended for fighter. Pool of intellect, 12. How about that? No. We actually don't. Because area of effect boost... 15 might, 16 con, 16 resolve, every dexterity, perception, and like 10. There. Done. Next. My culture. I can be from the Deadfire Archipelago. I happen to know that the second Pillars of Eternity game is called Pillars of Eternity 2 Deadfire. We can get more resolve. Do we really want... We really want to just max out... Let's do a few less points. Okay, so we've maxed out resolve of 18. And so we've got Constitution 16, Might 13. Resolve 19 if we go to the Yex Middle Plains. Sure, we can be from the Yix Middle Plains. Our background. Alright, so the background gives you non-combat skills such as lore, stealth, mechanics, things like that, athletics, mechanics. Lore plus 2, lore plus 2, lore plus 1, mechanics 1. Lore lets you use scrolls, which I never found to be very useful. Athletics and mechanics if we pick laborer. We can do stealth and mechanics. I think mechanics is really what we want because we... Mechanics is like lockpicking. And, I mean, heck yeah, why not? So we'll pick laborer as our background. For our color, our primary color is going to be green. And our secondary color is going to be... kind of magenta. Which gives us a green tunic under our armor and magenta pants, which is pretty cool. Do we have a... Yeah, there's a portrait that's sort of moon-ish. Can we get a head look? Oh my gosh, look at that. Head option one for the moon lady is exactly the portrait number 82 out of 99. I love it when a plan comes together. Female, yes. Mystic?
I shall lead us.
Silence surrounds me.
I've got this. Let's go!
Quickly and quietly.
Eh?
Alright, female feisty. Enter name Lukina. Done. And look, that only took... Opens up OBS. 31 minutes. Alright, we're at a campfire scene. Caravan Master Odema. The Caravan Master finishes addressing the group, his bushy red mustache and sagging jowls quivering as if for emphasis.
Everybody stays close to the wagons, got it? Stay out of the woods, and beasts take you if you were planning a stroll through those ruins up there.
He nods towards a looming black mass on the hillside. Yes, for those of you wondering at home, that is Togusa, lending us the voice of Caravan Master Odema.
Whole area's crawling with hut-dwelling types who'd be happy to stick an axe in you for trespassing. so mind that you don't track mud on their sacred blazing rocks.
Love a cultural enthusiast.
Tonight, everybody stays put, and in the morning, we'll get the path cleared. Gilded Veil's less than a day out. Understood?
At last, the caravan master turns to you, frowning as he looks you over.
Touch of the rumbling rot, could be. There's a stinging beetle around here carries it. You'll be fine once it passes your innards. Unless you don't drink water, of course. Which case, you'll be dead in a day. There's a berry grows in these parts, small and pink, called a springberry. About the size of a fingernail. Give you cramps if you eat it, but the frontiersmen make a tea from it. Calms the insides. Should get you through the night. You might check around, see if you can find some. Meanwhile, I'll see if we can scare you up some water. I know you want to hunt before it gets much darker, but see about refilling our water first. Got a sick one here.
He nods in your direction. Spareful nods and slides the worn bow over his shoulder. Well, we can ask more questions, but I'll go see about those berries then.
Hold on.
Oh.
Take someone with you. I know you're not some helpless tenderfoot, not like most of this lot. But you drop dead, I don't want to be looking for the body. Got a schedule to keep.
He scans over the travelers, resting his eyes at length on a sturdy armor-clad woman who has spent the journey's nights sleeping on uneven ground without a blanket or pillow.
Kalisha. Kalisha!
The woman looks up in her own time. Alright, so these lines aren't voiced, but let's see. She needs to find some spring berries. Watch that she doesn't drop dead.
No promises.
What kind of guide says something like that?
Kind you can afford.
Don't listen to her. You're in good hands. And I pay too well, if anything.
He casts a sidelong glance at her.
Off with you. Hayden should have supplies. See that you're equipped before you head out. We're in harsh country. Get your berries and hurry back. And if you get so much as a tickle of wind, you drop everything and you run. Something in the air tonight. If it's a Beowick, we'll shelter in the ruins. Hut dwellers be damned.
All right.
You heard the man. Let's get going before you keel over.
All right.
Sure.
So... let's check this crate here. Are we allowed to check this crate? Deerwood clothing and... oh, we're taking these lockpicks. Okay, yeah. So, there's a lock chest over here. If you have mechanics 0, it requires 3 lockpicks. If you have mechanics 1, it requires 1 lockpick. If you have mechanics 2 or more, it requires 0 lockpicks. So the more we level up mechanics...
Anyone need supplies? I've got sundries for sale.
That's also an anime voice actor. This is Heoden. You see a man wearing simple but mostly neat clothes. He's transfixed, however, by a ragged tear in the seam of his tunic.
Got a whole wagon full of goods to sell, but not enough shirts for the road.
He scratches one cheek with his knuckles. It's covered with uneven stubble, as if he hasn't gotten quite used to shaving on the road.
Say, is there anything you need? I've got some basic traveling supplies for sale, if you'd like to take a look.
Yeah, let's see what you got. Actually, I don't need to buy anything, because I think we start with a weapon and a shield, and that's basically all we need. We can put on our Cloak of the Obsidian Order, which we get for having been a Kickstarter backer of this a billion years ago. We have some sort of magic ring. We have a giant miniature space piglet, which goes in the pet slot, and then a little tiny ghost pig. Well, I should say a little tiny giant miniature space piglet will follow us around all game. So just anytime you imagine that a serious scene is happening, I want you to also imagine a little tiny ghostly space piglet is also following us. The enemies cannot interact. It doesn't take turns in fights. The enemies can't attack it. Nothing like that. It just it's just around, just for looks. That's Ameth's wort.
Let's check, but we shouldn't stray.
Ah. Okay, we got some wolves. Take all that.
This is it.
Alright, we got some spring berries. Uh Okay, so Calliska starts a conversation, and then it says in square brackets, laborer, implying, you know, because we picked the laborer background, this is modifying what Calliska said. And Calliska says, Odema says you're a working woman. That's right, I made my living as a builder. Yeah? How's you happen to come out here? I made an error in my planning. One of my buildings collapsed. That was the end of my short career. Well, we've all got things we'd like to leave behind. God knows I do. I'll tell you that. Here's hoping they never track us down. Calliska breathes in her surroundings. Been a long time since I've been this way, but I always did like it. Lord Radric's offer. Well, makes a girl think. I'll give him that. You here to settle like the rest of this lot? No, I'm just passing through. That's usually the case with the big city just a little ways further up the same road. Where is you headed? Nowhere special, just putting as much time and distance between me and my old life as I possibly can. Seeing as how we're halfway between nowhere and nothing, I'd say you picked the right spot. Anyway, I'm wasting time here. Odema will give me an earful. Let's be on our way. Alright, let's get back to camp. You know, I wouldn't hold my breath that Sparfle's getting you water anytime soon. He does what he feels like, when he feels like it. We should check up on him first, slap him around a little bit. A stream's down that way. Come on, let's get you your water. Alright. Oh, we can go over this way. There's like old stone ruins, remains of what was once complete walls and such. There's a little lantern near this bridge. We cross the stream. It's just like 10-foot stream or something.
At least you left the water skins. Come on.
Okay. You crouch at the riverbank. So as I click on this, it goes to like an alt text with like a monochrome sketch of a hand filling up a wineskin in the water. And then we get a bunch of text. You crouch at the riverbank and dip your water skin into the cool water while Calliska waits nearby, keeping watch. As you rise, you notice her look up sharply towards the tree line. You've gained an item, quest, water skin added to the stash. Continue. Out of the trees emerges Sparfle, one of the guides, barely discernible in the dim moonlight. He no longer carries his bow, and there is a strangeness to his gait, his stride wobbly as he moves towards you with labored breath.
Sparfle, are you all right?
Sparfle's toe catches on a rock, and he collapses forward in a heap, the feathered shaft of an arrow planted between his shoulders like an enemy flag. Cut back to the main game scene.
Ambush!
Ooh, we have people behind us, too! Oh, let's pause. These are Glanfathan Hunters. Alright. Well, we're on story mode, so it's,
Let's go.
Rather foregone that we're going to win if we just swing our weapons a few times.
Come on, we have to get back to camp.
Okay, we're gonna go this way. Grab that. Loot. Run back across the bridge. Run towards the camp. There's more. There's another hunter. Smack that guy. They've all got like really crappy armor and oh dear, everyone at the camp is dead. Go figure. The Glanfathan leader. All around you lie the massacred remains of the other travelers, peppered with arrows and knife hilts, splayed and bug-eyed and filthy. Glaska puts the back of her left hand to her mouth as if to ward away some poisonous vapor. A handful of dark figures stands above the fallen, treading on limbs and backs and heads, jerking their axes from bodies as if from half-split logs. One of them, towering and severe, with a thick beard tasseled with knots, holds a wet blade at the neck of a man you recognize as Haodin, the last of your caravan left standing. Lay down your arms, trespasser. Do not forfeit this man's life for a fight you will lose. Let's see. So here, we can say, why have you done this? We can also say a bunch of answers. One of these is actually a lore 1 answer. Like, because we have lore rank 1, we're allowed to say a special thing. We can also, when we say any of these other answers, we get points as diplomatic, honest, diplomatic, passionate, or rational. So there's two diplomatic options in this case. These, like, personality traits or attitudes or whatever, usually you just accumulate them. Sometimes you have to have enough points in a trait. Like, at one point, you have to have... Sometimes you only have to have, like, you know, two or three. There was one spot in the game that I have seen where I had to have, like, 16 or more in different things. And so, like, you know, it helps to lean more regularly towards, like, a few traits instead of trying to up every single trait, I guess. Let's go with... The ruin has not been sullied by our hands, men of Irgwenfath. Your words carry no weight when I have seen the truth with my own eyes. Blood must be paid for this intrusion. I don't know what he's talking about. So I say again, lay down your arms. Don't trust them. They mean to kill us all. We are innocent in this. Will you not listen to reason? That's like the default answer. And then next we have Might 14, requirements not met. Because, remember, I cut down my might a little bit. And then we have, like, a perception 14, intellect 13. I have resolve 15. I have an athletics 1 option. Rush the man before he can react. Resolve 15, go ahead and kill him now. Do it! Sure, let's just go berserk mode. The man hesitates and his eyes narrow as he studies you. What kind of coward asks for her own man to be killed? And I only get one reply here. The kind who will be so enraged by it that no amount of pain will stop her from beating you so savagely that you will carry the disfigurement into your next life. Again, he hesitates. He looks off to the side, frowning, as if reevaluating his strategy. With a deep breath, the man meets your gaze. You first, then. He shoves Haydan towards you. As he does so, the man rakes his blade against Haydan's torso. Haydan screams and stumbles forward, a wide gash in his clothing beginning to bloom crimson. The man sets his feet to engage you, his axe raised high. Alright, so Haydan took an automatic hit, but he's alive. And now we have a big ol' melee. The guy dies. Your enemy lies supine on the ground, unable to rise. His companions now silent among the other dead. His breath comes in wheezing, fitful gasps. He looks not at you, but at the sky above you. Forgive us. Barely audible beneath his choked sigh, a whisper of wind stirs the air. At this, the man's eyes roll back as he closes them. Good, good. The gods are just. A queer smile crosses his face. I am ready. The wind begins to swell, whipping around the camp, electric and volatile, upending pots and rattling tents like an angry spirit. You can feel it begin to seep beneath your skin, and where it pierces you, it feels as though it is rending you apart from within. Seated against a wagon wheel, amidst the howling maelstrom, slashed across chest and bowel, Odma's body stirs, and with great effort he raises his sagging head, his eyes barely open. He looks directly at you.
Get inside! Run!
And then as a cutscene, we run into the caves as the campfire turns to purple flames and spirits begin a whirling all around. Here we have another one of these, like, I don't know what to call it when these, we have a paragraph of text and there's like a picture next to it and it's not the normal game mode. Let's see. Straining against a gale that threatens to pull you off your feet with every step, you set your hands into the worn folds of weathered rock and set about pulling yourself up the precipice. With a last burst of energy before your arms give out, you swing yourself up onto the ledge. Haydan trails behind, slowed by injury and delayed by early hesitation. As he nears the face of the rocks, one of the fallen attackers, who had been feigning death, lunges for Haydan and topples him into the rocky ground. Restrained, Haydan lashes out against his fatigued assailant, but struggles to break his hold. They are close to you, despite the wind from your position. If you were to throw your weapon at the attacker, you would have a good chance of hitting your mark. Alright, so I can throw my weapon. There's a Dexterity 15 option that I don't have the requirements for. or I can allow Haoden to break free on his own. Well, let's throw our weapon at the attacker. Your aim is true, and the hit jars Haoden loose. Lurching to his feet, Haoden clambers up the base of the rocks. As he nears the top, however, the wind flares, pulling him sideways and tearing one of his hands free. But diving out onto the hard rock, you manage to catch hold of it, securing his other hand. You pull with waning strength, and it feels as though your arms will be jerked from their sockets. They hold just long enough for Haoden to set his feet and join you in the trembling ledge. There is a deep resonance to the swelling wind now. You feel it in the rocks beneath your feet and inside the cavity of your own chest, as though it would shake the marrow from your bones. Each new gust menaces the old stone before you, loosening connections, unsettling balances. As you dart beneath the old archway, the entire portal begins to fall beneath its own weight. And then we have a load screen. Ah, here we are. Oh, that was fast. Okay, that was fast. This is Kaliska again. That's her voice.
A Beowick. Had to be.
This is Haoden's voice. Haoden's words come between wheezing gasps.
Then we're lucky to be alive.
And we're the only ones.
We can't stay here. There could be another collapse. We're not getting out that way anyway. Let's get further inside. Can you walk?
She eyes the ragged slash across Haoden's belly. Haoden's jaw tightens. He nods. Alright, I think this is a good stopping point for our intro. Haoden has the bruised ribs modifier, which is -4 constitution. Addendum added. Oh yeah, so now that we've skipped out of the formal tutorial section, we gained a whole bunch of experience and quest experience and like a bunch of quests activated and stuff. Yeah, so we can open up our stash. I guess we don't have any spare weapons. Oh, Haoden has a lot of weapons. He has 2 daggers, and then he's also got a spare dagger. Alright. And us a dagger. Where did the dagger... Oh, you don't drag it to a portrait. So, you just drag it to... I see. Yeah, so when you go to the inventory, there's like a selected character. And then even when you have a selected character, that's like, it's like showing all the different equipped slots and stuff and their weapon sets and all that stuff. Each person's like bag of stuff or whatever is shown in one big arrangement to the side. So like when I want to take a sword off of my equipment and give it to Haoden's bag, then like you just drag and drop and there you go. That's pretty cool. You can also open the stash at any time and just like take something out, put something back in. It's all very convenient. It's a crafting button. Foods, potions, scrolls, all sorts of stuff. I'm sure if we were playing on a high difficulty level, we would have to be careful about crafting things. We're not gonna do that. Gowns Pledge. It's like a cure spell. +15 endurance. Oh wait, endurance? Okay, yeah, we have 55 endurance and 273 health. So 15 endurance is a significant portion, even for a fighter type with like high endurance. Klaska has 51 endurance. Haoden has 29 endurance. 15 would be a real big deal to him. It does. I like playing this game, but it does take a lot to read all the lines. So we're gonna have to stop here and. Once again, you find me, friends, drinking a Just Peachy Peace tea, and it's as peachy as advertised. Hope to pillar some eternity soon. Oh, I better hit save game. We have an autosave right there. Alright, we can hit save. And then I quit. Are you sure you want to quit? Yes, I will accept. Alright. There we go. See you, friends.